Thank you, children. Thank you, Chasten and Kenitra, for putting that together. As we looked forward to this service this morning, it just did seem appropriate to have the children do some singing. And Chasten wasn't sure she could do that, and I assured her that she could. Then she asked if she could have some help, and I said, yeah, that's fine. So thank you. This morning, as we think about dedicating children, I want to speak to all of us this morning, because it is not just the children that are being dedicated this morning, it is the parents, and it is you who are coming together to commit to raising, to influencing, to pointing these children to Jesus. To pointing them in a direction that will hopefully change the world. And so I do want to, the verse that I've chosen this morning is Proverbs 22, verse 6, very familiar verse. And we'll go on into that in just a little bit. But to start off, there's just a few things that maybe might be some good things to think about. Some quotes that I found over the years. Parenting wit and wisdom. If it was going to be easy, it would never have started with something called labor. Shouting to make your children obey is like using the horn to steer your car, and you get about the same results. The smartest advice on raising children is to enjoy them while they're still on your side. This one, I like this one. Grandparents are similar to a piece of string, handy to have around and easily wrapped around the fingers of grandchildren. We won't go there this morning. There are three ways to get something done. Do it yourself, hire someone to do it, or forbid your children to do it. That one works. I've tried that one. Adolescence is the age when children try to bring up their parents. Cleaning your house while your kids are at home is like trying to shovel the driveway during a snowstorm. There are only two things a child will share willingly: communicable disease and his mother's age. Adolescence is the age at which children stop asking questions because they have all the answers. And an alarm clock is a device for waking people who don't have small children. So, if you find yourself in any of those, don't despair. One day you will find yourself at home and no children there. And that's a good place to be as well. Robert Fulghum said this: don't worry that children never listen to you. Worry that they're always watching you. Don't worry that children never listen to you. Worry that they're always watching you. In ancient Israel, a Jewish husband and wife would no more consider aborting a child than they would consider killing each other. And why was that? Their philosophy was, and you can read this one in Psalm 127, verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. That is from the NIV. The King James says it this way: lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children in that day were considered special. And I hope that's where we find ourselves this morning. From what I see, I believe we do. To them, children were an investment. They were something that probably an investment advisor would have said, have children, because they're going to support you when you get old. And in that day, that was the way they operated. It was common. Children were seen as rewards, not punishments. They were seen as opportunities, not obstacles. So How does a godly home provide for children? I believe that in Proverbs 22, verse 6, where the writer says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. My question this morning is this a promise or is this instruction? What is a proverb? Often a proverb is made up of three basic parts. Number one is instruction, number two is wisdom, and number three gives the result. So if we look at this verse, there's three basic parts in this verse. Number one is train. Number two is way, and the number three is the result. He will not depart from it. I'm going to rename those a little bit, and I'm going to call them example, instruction, and loving discipline. The three parts that we're going to look at this morning are example, instruction, and loving discipline. Dad. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Mom, her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. The British statesman Edmund Burke called example the school of mankind. And its first lessons are learned in the home before the children can speak. Benjamin Franklin said it this way, example is the best sermon. And it suggests that the way we act at home teaches our children more about God than they learn here in Sunday school or church. Proverbs 14, verse 26 says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. And for his children, it will be a refuge. As parents, as grandparents, as families, as a church body, when we walk with God, we give our children a heritage that will enrich them throughout all of their life. That verse again, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. You create security for your children by providing that solid foundation for them. I wrestle sometimes because as a young person, I had the same thought process. I've grown up in a sheltered home. I've grown up in an environment that is sheltered. And I've heard young people say, I don't want to be sheltered. And I've looked at them and I said, so let me ask you a question then. You want your dad to be an alcoholic? Do you want your dad to be a drug addict? Your mom to be a prostitute? What are you saying when you say that? I believe that it is your responsibility as parents, our responsibility as parents, to create a sheltered environment for our children. It's not all going to look the same. But it is our responsibility to do that. Does it mean that everything is going to be perfect? No. Charles Reed, an author from the 18th century, said this, example is contagious behavior. The best thing that we can give to our children as a good example. The second point is instruction. Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 6, verse 20 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs is full of instruction to young people, to parents, to grandparents. These were instructions that are given for our good, not only as parents, but as individuals in our own lives, in the way that we conduct ourselves. Proverbs 19:27 says, stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. The man who deliberately walked into the trap of an adulterous woman did so because he ignored what his parents taught him. Proverbs 5:12 says, "How I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors." Today, our society places a lot of emphasis on sports, music, social activities. Nothing wrong with any of them. But when they take the place of a parent's role, when they take the place of a parent in the child's life, it is destructive. What importance do we place on instructing them in knowing and obeying God's word? What does instruction include? Number one is prayer. Commit to pray for your children. Commit to pray for your grandchildren. Commit to pray for the children in this church. Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 through 9. Let's turn to that. I want to turn to that quick. My glasses aren't working. All right. There it is. Let me back up to verse 6. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." As parents, you start out as the authority figure. You grow. Your children grow. You eventually evolve into a mentor. A person who God told them, "Walk with your children. Teach them. Talk to them about these things that I have taught you, that I'm telling you." We teach them by our example. Time spent playing games are ways to teach. And I believe that if we invest this time, our children will have the skills and the wisdom to make right choices. No, they will not always make right choices, but they will have the skills. They will remember what they've been taught. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." And then in chapter 15, verse 20, he rephrases it just a little bit and says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother." The third one is discipline. And I've added the word loving discipline. We've all heard the phrase, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." Today, there are people that would believe that if you use corporal punishment, you're guilty of child abuse. I believe that if you don't use some, you're guilty of child abuse. I'm not saying that you should do it in a way that is destructive. It needs to be instructive. And I am not promoting child abuse. I believe there are ways that you can discipline a child with corporal punishment without abusing that child, and that child knows that you care for them. I'm not going into telling you how to discipline your children this morning. But the Bible does make it very clear: he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Chapter 3, verse 11 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." Chapter 13, verse 24. I've already read that. Why do we discipline? Why do I need discipline in my own life? As an adult, I need discipline because there are behaviors that I automatically will go to that are not productive. They can be destructive. And so as parents, our children automatically have those behaviors. Our goal is to help them to change that, to train them, to teach them discipline. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring you delight to your soul. If I look only at verse 6, I could get the idea that if I do everything right, my child will turn out right. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes there are reasons why a child, a person, will take a path that is different. So how do you explain when parents teach their children to fear the Lord and they choose to go their own way? This proverb is a principle that is general but true. I remember very well when we moved here, and I had spent time at the boys' camp, and we moved here, and I spent time at AYCC at the time, which was a youth camp. And it was not unusual for me to get a phone call from the caseworker or social workers and say, "Hey, we've got one of your boys down here." And at first I was like, "What do you mean one of my boys? And typically it was a boy who had come through the boys' camp, who had gotten out, had graduated, and went down another path. And what I found interesting was that every one of those boys, when I would bring them into the office and I would spend time with them, every one of those boys remembered very vividly what they had been taught. They didn't forget it. They chose to take a different path. One of them was from Wagner, and I remember very well. He over and over would mess up. And just simple, he had what they call a youth offender case or a sentence, which meant he could be in prison anywhere from 6 months to 6 years. It all depended on his behavior. And it was interesting because he would get within 30 days of going home and he would mess up. And one day I looked at him and I said, "Chris, what is wrong with you?" "I don't know." And I came in one day and Warden called me and he said, "Chris is up in the White House," which was the cells. He was locked up in a cell. He said, "He's not getting in trouble. He's going home. I'm keeping him in there for 30 days because he's that close to going home, and he's going home." And so I went up and I said, "Chris, don't you want to go home?" "I don't have any reason to go home." I said, "What do you mean?" And I didn't know where he lived at the time. He said, "I live in a one-room house, and there's 7 people there. And if you go into Wagner, you'll see a house on the left that has had a tree on the roof for the last 15 to 20 years. That was his home." He had no reason. He had nothing to go home to. We have the opportunity to change that for them and for your children. The book of Proverbs makes it clear that our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as a church body, as a group of believers, as people, is to teach our children how to live. It also makes it very clear that the moral content that I choose is my responsibility. So this morning, if you're here as a parent and some of your children are doing things that you're just not sure why, they have a choice. Verse 8:22 gives the idea that the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. Solomon understood that God had given him a chance. God had given him something to do, and he was fulfilling it. He recognized that it was his responsibility to do that. Verse 11:5 says, "The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. A wise person walks straight, but a person who is not wise follows his own path. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." As people, we have our own ideas, our own way that we want to do things, and sometimes it just takes us off track. And then in chapter 19, verse 3, the writer says, "When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord." So this morning, as we here recognize that these parents are bringing this child to dedicate them, to give them to God, which they've already done, but it's as much about dedicating themselves and us as a church, everyone here, dedicating ourselves to helping them teach their children and pointing them to Christ. There's an old proverb based on this verse that says, "As a twig is bent, so is the tree inclined." You know, you can take a tree, a small tree, and if you leave it alone, it's going to grow the way it wants to grow. It's going to be crooked. I have some trees that were damaged when they logged our property. And so you'll see a tree and it goes up nice and then straight off that way. Well, you can see what happened. It got hit and nobody cared enough about it to change it. I have some dogwoods and some camellias, and I protect those plants pretty much. And one day I hooked a dogwood with a bush hog and I literally split that trunk right in half. And it was right where I didn't want to lose that tree. And I was really mad at myself. And I looked at that thing and I said, best thing to do is cut it down. But if you know me, I get pretty defensive about my dogwoods. And so I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I said, how can I keep this thing from rotting? Because they're very susceptible to bugs when they get wounded like that. So I went up in my shop and I start looking, and I found something in one of my cabinets, and I said, here we go. So I had about four radiator hose clamps. And I went down there and I clamped that tree back together, got it all nice and snug. And I left it there for about a year, left those clamps on it. Every now and then I would loosen them because I didn't want them to grow into it. I'd loosen them just a little bit until one day I loosened them all the way. And that tree had mended itself. It was fixed. Just recently, I did the same thing to a camellia, and I couldn't afford to lose any limbs off of that camellia because it needed everything it had. And I ripped one nice shoot right off of it. I was so upset. And it was hanging on by a sliver. And I looked at it. I don't have any hose clamps that small. What am I going to do? So I went up again and started looking, and I found some wire ties. And I said, we'll try this. So I went back down and I fitted that thing right back in there and I tied it back together. It's been 6 weeks. Those leaves are just as shiny and glossy. When we take the time to teach, when we take the time to train, God will reward that. Not always the way we want to see it, but it is our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as everyone involved in these children's lives, to give them the tools that they need to correct the mistakes that they make in life and to help them walk through life each day. This morning, I just want to leave us with a challenge. May God give us the grace and courage to lead by our example, to faithfully give instruction, and to lovingly give discipline as He gives us that opportunity. This morning, I'm going to ask Harley and Janice and Kevin and Heidi if you would come forward. And I've asked Harley and Kevin to give a testimony. I'm not sure. Kevin's response the other night, you might end up with an offering here. I'm not sure. So the ushers might want to get ready. He claims he needs money for a wedding already. I don't know why we need that. But. I find it interesting. My son-in-law's, two of my son-in-laws, all of a sudden, are claiming that I wasn't hard enough on them. Now that they have daughters, they're like, "Why were you so easy on us?" And so we can go back and redo it. And they don't. Neither one of them want to do it. So Harley and Janice and Kevin and Heidi, if you would come, and then we will do the dedication.
I guess I'm here, so I'll just stop. Things do get embellished. Jocelyn Annabelle, you were born on August 29th, and your nurses promptly informed us that you were going to be a very opinionated girl. You have proven to be just that, but I guess you get that honestly. You are as free with your smile as you are letting everyone know when your feelings have been hurt. We pray that life will never take that smile from you, that no matter what life gives you, you will find a joy and a reason to smile. Our prayer for you is that you will grow up to be a courageous Christian woman, that in a day and age where true Christian femininity is looked upon with disdain, that you will courageously embrace it. Our desire is that your faith in God will be your guide, that you can live in humility and yet stand strong for truth. Our prayer is that these verses in Proverbs 31, 25, and 26 will guide you through life. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue.
Dale Sudbury, he said he sent a message, said we were supposed to have a speech. Goals for us and goals for and what we want from y'all. And my first thought that I had, 3 John 3. I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. Was the verse that came to my mind, and as I look, it's like, what's my goals, our goals, and we can have a lot of ideas. Nicole came as a surprise to all of us, but like they say, what would you do without them, and we love her, and our goal, we can have a lot of ideas, what we think, and where they would go, and what they would do, but in the long run, my mind was a lot with what Dale shared this morning, example, and our goal is to be an example, a home that she feels loved, and example that that in the final, at the end, it would be that our, that she would walk in truth, and what greater joy would there be than that? What we need from y'all, just to continue doing what you were doing. You know, y'all have done great. When you get an unexpected run to the ER, we put it out, and y'all pray, and we don't know what the reason was. Maybe she was healed because of your prayers. But just thank y'all for your care and your love and how you pray and just your encouragement. Y'all do great. Just continue to do what you do.
These children as a gift entrusted to you by God to love, cherish, and to train them right. You pledge yourself by the grace of God to be diligent and patient beyond the call of duty in the middle of the night. Bring up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord through teaching and being a living example of Christian leadership. Is it your desire to share your responsibility this congregation and the people here this morning through inviting their prayers, counseling, and prayer. not necessarily just part of this church. Family, friends. Kevin and Heidi, Harley and Janice, to surround these children with grace, love, and patient teaching, both by word and by deed. Would you indicate your affirmation of such to standing to this morning, I'm going to ask Junior and Jonah to come and do the dedication prayer. So it is, you guys can make your way through. This is kind of our own little thing that we started doing a couple of years ago, and it's symbolic. It's symbolic to the Old Testament dedication and blessing that a father would give to his only son. But it's also a prayer of dedication to all of you. And it is a prayer of blessing on these parents as they raise these children. So I'm going to ask Junior if he would go ahead and pray the prayer of blessing on Cole. And then Joe and I, if you would pray the prayer of blessing on
God, we're grateful to you again this morning for children and the way that you have blessed each of us with children. And we're especially, think of Nicole this morning. And as a baby, God, her life is before her. And only you know the future. And I pray that you would bless her in a special way, and that you would help her to grow up to embrace the teachings that she will receive, and to remember that you are God, and that she will answer to you. And I just pray that you would use her in a mighty way, and help her to be willing to be used as well. And so I pray a blessing on her, and on Harley and Janice as they train, as they teach, as they show by example how to follow you, that you would bless them with that wisdom and guidance. So thank you again for Nicole, and we give her to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Jocelyn to Kevin and Heidi's home. And Lord, we ask that you would help her to grow up to be, to know you and to serve you all of her days. We ask that you would bless Kevin and Heidi as they teach her, as they live an example to her. Give them the strength, courage, and patience that it takes to raise her. And we ask that you would just bless their journey. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dedicate you to God.